welcome to the Regular Guys Random Things Weekly Podcast. Thanks again for listening to these regular guys talk about the most random things. So sit back and relax while they get started.
Hey everyone, how's it going? Welcome to another episode of Regular Guys Random Things Podcast. I'm your host, Scott. I'm joined today by Dustin.
Yep, how's it going?
John.
How are you doing?
And Brian.
Howdy, partners.
So let's get going here. We've had a very eventful week, it seems like. Last week we left off with, we were about ready to head out. John, why don't you pick it up from there?
So last week we decided to go to Blue Iguana for some super burritos and
Burrito Grande.
Burrito, okay, is that what it's called?
Yes.
A Burrito Grande, and because I care about everyone, I thought I would also participate. And everyone participated but Brian. Brian got the fajitas.
Flautas.
Taquitos.
And, you know, he didn't feel like he could hack it, and that's fine, you know. So anyway, I thought I'm going to do my best here. I think I got through, what, a third?
No.
No.
16th.
Come on.
A quarter.
No. 16th. You might have got through a quarter.
No, I need video evidence of this. I got through probably.
I got pictures on the Facebook page.
Okay.
I can put up.
I got through more than a quarter. After that, I don't really care. We can split the hairs. But anyway, I was in a lot of pain at 4 o'clock in the morning and then the rest of the next day. So apparently I should have gone with the flautas.
John used a sick day here at work because the Burrito Grande kicked his booty.
What was it specifically? Was it those jalapenos you put in it? Or
no, it wasn't hot at all.
Well, just so that everyone knows, they claim this to be the 5-pound burrito. And it's three great big giant tortilla shells rolled into one big burrito. It's got chicken, beef, pork, some rice, a bunch of other things inside, guacamole, sour cream, pico de gallo on top with enchilada sauce all over it. Tastes really good.
If I was to guess, there was nothing wrong with the burrito. It was delicious. The flavor was good. The jalapenos gave it a nice spice. It wasn't hot. But if I was going to guess, it probably had something to do with the fact that I eat once a day. And then eating that heavy of a thing that one time when I normally eat like a salad or whatever, my body was like, no,
Sissy.
Yeah. I'll take whatever you can give. That's fine.
It might have been the four baskets of chips you ate before the burrito.
No, I told you I eat chips all the time.
Well, that can't be an excuse either because I ate chips with you at the same time.
That's so true. Just so, don't have the same skills that you fellas do. So
Dustin and I also got it, but it kicked our butt as well. We didn't quite finish either, but I think we got 4/5 of the way through it and tied.
Scott won.
I think we could have finished.
Scott
we both
won.
No, we tied.
We tied.
I don't know about a tie. Yeah,
we had to have a couple Scott's independent weights and measures to see who was closest, and we determined it was a tie after many trials.
We both ate until we agreed that we had the same amount left on the plate.
I know you guys agree, but I think Dustin's was lighter.
Well, then, if mine was lighter, that means I won.
Oh, shoot. I mean, I can't get the measurements right. I mean, anyway, yeah, it was pretty fun, though. So
to get Scott to stop, though, I had to throw his fork on the floor because
I watched that
he'd match every single bite we took. So I was finally
I wasn't going to lose.
Well, I wasn't going to lose either, but
I know.
I threw your fork on the floor to stop it.
So which one of you ate the rest of the burrito faster and sooner? I guess what I'm saying is, when was the burrito completely gone? Who won?
I ate mine the next night.
I had mine for lunch on Friday, so I guess Dustin consumed his entire burrito first.
Winner.
There you go. Who's a real winner here, though? Brian, he slept just fine that night.
Yes, he probably ended up...
I did not have to buy any Pepto-Bismol. Yes.
My stomach was feeling it afterwards, and I probably could have finished it, but I'm so glad I didn't because it was bad enough as is. So,
I didn't get sick. I just got really, really, really full.
Yeah.
So when I went to lay down, I was like, oh man, there's too much food in my belly.
Yeah.
But I was fine the next day.
I was pretty good the next day after a
couple of trips.
A couple of trips.
To the little boy's room.
Speaking of a couple of trips, the next from about 4 a.m. till about 4 p.m., I had 5 trips, I counted.
Wow.
Yeah. So, in case
you
were
wondering. 5 trips out of that teeny tiny piece of the burrito you ate?
I know.
Teeny tiny piece.
I've eaten bigger burritos from Taco Bell.
Good grief.
I think actually Brian ate more than you did, eating 2
That's
filadas, beans and rice, and chips and salsa. I think he ate more.
John, at least you tried it.
I did.
Good job,
thank
Brian.
That's right. I'm smarter.
All right. Anybody have anything else to add for that? I think we pretty much covered that. So go attempt to that. It's a lot of fun if you do it with others first, and you'll have some good conversation afterwards.
Oh, so. I did think of something. We asked the waiter who he thought would win, and he looked around the table and then looked at Scott and knew Scott had the heart of a lion.
Just because he could see the eye of the tiger right there, man.
He really wanted to dish up that Frugal ice cream, but I think we disappointed.
Yeah. All right, Brian, what's been going on with you lately?
So this weekend, as you've heard in past episodes, I do a lot of family things. This week was no different. We went to a family's birthday party at Jungle Jim's Playlands. More for the kids. You guys been to Jungle Jim's Playland?
No.
Or
never heard of it.
What
I
about?
Have.
Where is it at?
It's in Fort Union. It's off of 70th South and like 7th East-ish. Mm. It's a place where it's kind of like a fair indoors. You go in, you take your kids. They give you a little credit card with some like $5 on it to go to the arcade machines. They have a Ferris wheel, carousel, not a Ferris wheel. They have skeet ball and a bunch of stuff, games where you can get tickets and then redeem those tickets for prizes. So we went there and hung out there for a bit. Have you guys ever done Airborne?
I've done Airborne. Also.
I like Airborne.
We did that a couple weeks ago also. So it's kind of a big thing.
Did you jump?
No, it's just for kids.
It's not just for kids.
That is just for kids.
I've jumped.
I've jumped too.
And I'll tell you right now that after I jumped, sometimes I wish I hadn't. Because stuff hurts.
When you feel that spinal compression,
yeah,
you're
the
like,
spinal compression, like my back.
Yeah, so we kind of did that, and that was the fun part.
Once again,
nice.
Once again, Brian was smart enough not to jump.
How many tickets did you win, Brian?
My 3 kids each got a credit card with $5 on it, and they all came back with, I think, a total of 19 tickets. So
wow,
I 19. Think they could have gotten one of those really nice pencil erasers.
Did they?
Say,
no.
A spider ring.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to say credit card debt. You know, they're trying to initiate them young.
That's probably true.
Nice. All right. That sounds like a good time. Dustin, what have you been up to?
I got to hang out with you on Friday night.
Yeah, we did.
At the old skating rink.
Wait, like classic?
Yeah. Yes. So it was for the elementary school kids. It was free skate night.
Did you skate?
No, I didn't.
Oh, come on.
No.
So roller skate or roller blade?
Either scooters,
Blade.
Whatever. So Scott says to me on Friday, oh, man, I got to go. I'm leaving right at 4 because I got to.
Hold on. There was no man. I was totally excited to go to.
Scott was like, yes, guess what? I get to go to skate night tonight.
you didn't even skate.
And I was like, for what? And he said, for the elementary school. And then he said, are you going? And I was like, oh, I hope not. I hope my kids don't know about it. And so I texted my wife and said, hey, what do we got going on tonight? And she's like, oh, nothing planned. So I was like, haha, Scott, you're going to skate night and I don't have to. And I got home and she's like, so, you know, it's skate night at the classic skate. I'm like, yes, I do. And she's like, well, the kids have asked me like 50 times about it. So I said, oh, that's fine. We can go. Scott and Holly will be there. We can just go sit there. So the girls sat at their table and did their thing. And Scott and I sat at our own table and we were facing the skate rink. And man, best people watching ever.
We usually they do these and it's like a Wednesday night, right? But this was on a Friday night, and who knew that there were so many adults that showed up and got their jam on skating, and it was hilarious to watch. And Dustin and I were just sitting there praying for as many people as possible to wipe out, and it was pretty epic.
Our word of the night was, he's going down, and then boom, just right in front of us. So it was pretty funny.
I love skating.
Do you?
It's hard because of my foot width but I love skating, rollerblading. Nice. I love
Next time we have one, we'll invite you.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't be on the sidelines.
Well, good. Then we can watch
you. He's going down.
Ooh, I'm hearing the next man cave activity.
Yeah, dude, there you go.
But the tricky thing is, genuinely, I have a hard time. I have to get a skate that's like 15 miles too long or whatever. I've got to track down. I had some aggressive skates that had a wide toe box. I've got to track them down because if I could wear those, I know that those would work. But yeah, I have a lot of fun. Plus, I don't do the ring. I do the aggressive skate side where you do the little jumps, you know, on the bouncy house side.
Yeah, jumping.
Did they take that out or is that still there?
No,
it's kind of there, but I don't know if it's called an aggressive skate side. I think it's
called
just
a slaloms. Right?
It's all small. It's not like there's big. The best part about the whole night, though, was it was throw it back night, throw it back to the 80s. So all of these people started showing up in their spandex and their bicycle shorts, and it got pretty interesting.
Leg warmers. And
my favorite was there was this older black gentleman there who, I mean, he had skates that were vintage. I mean, he just looked vintage. And I could just picture him listening to some Marvin Gaye.
He had a big old set of Beats headphones on.
Marvin Gaye or some Barry White. And, I mean, he was just smooth, just going around.
Skating backwards.
Oh, yeah, he was awesome. He was way cool. He was by far the coolest one until he biffed it.
he was the best skater on the floor, but there was at one point in time he was skating backwards, and I think he didn't judge the turn right, and so there's like
he hit the lip.
Because he was going around right back.
Right on the edge of the skating rink. That, all the way. Oops, sorry.
That means
That's me drawing the skating rink and hitting microphone, by the way.
That means he landed on carpet then, is that right?
Oh, yeah.
That
and he
sucks.
Was down for a while. I don't know if he hurt himself or it was just a pride thing.
I think it was his pride because he got back up and just continued on. He was a good skater.
He was awesome. He was my favorite one. So, and lots of other biffs happened. So it actually turned out to be a very entertaining night. Dustin and I laughed our butts off.
It was fun. Yeah,
very nice.
What do you got going on, Scott, other than the classic skate?
So this week, and I've kind of mentioned it before, but I'm a big soccer fan. And this week, Real Salt Lake started their season. So my son Ethan is a huge soccer fan. He's been looking forward to this forever and ever. So two of us were very excited to sit down on Saturday night and watch the first soccer game of the season. They played in Dallas, which has been a very poor place for them to play historically. And they came out with a tie. Spoiler alert, sorry if you haven't watched the game yet.
Poor, but, like, they lose every time?
Yes.
Okay. Well, the funny thing is I don't quite get this. Real scored two goals, and Dallas scored none. But Real still lost.
Well, that's because they scored one of those goals in the wrong side.
Oh, no.
They scored against themselves.
Dang it.
Yeah, they did have an own goal. So I'm very excited about that. I'm super excited for MLS soccer to be on now, and you'll probably hear about it more as the year goes on.
You know much more about soccer than I do, clearly. How often do oopsies like you score on yourself happen in soccer?
More often than you think.
Really?
Yeah.
And is it because they get disoriented, or is it because it bounces off of someone funny? You know?
Yes.
That's what happened to this one. Usually, it was just a bad bounce.
Usually it's a bad bounce or, you know, a deflection or something like that. So,
how would you feel if you were that guy?
Oh, he was
mad. He ran back into the goal and kicked the ball, and then he picked it up with his hands and ran out the other way and booted it clear back into the field. And
which I was actually, I mean, he was very passionate, which to me means he really cares about it. So very good for him. I feel bad for him, but.
So I know you're a big soccer fan. Are you like a season ticket holder, or do you have the sports package that you watch at home, or?
We usually watch them on TV. We'll go to as many games as we can during the year, but mostly on TV.
Cool.
And then pretty soon the Royals are going to start, but we'll talk about that another time. So,
Royals like the band?
I'll tell you later.
Okay.
Stay tuned.
All right.
All right, so that's what happened going on in our world. We have a little topic we want to discuss today. So I've been watching some TV, and my wife likes to watch these shows, and there's on the like HGTV or on our weather channels are they on. Anyway, lots of shows about tiny houses lately. So we want to talk a little bit about tiny houses. John, what's your take on a tiny house?
So I have been looking into tiny houses for a while, and it's not my wife's fault. I think that they are really, really interesting and appealing. I could go into much detail. I think that one of the most interesting aspects of them are how quickly you could pay one off and what amenities that it has. But they have some drawbacks too, you know, and obviously trailers have existed for a long time, and those have pros and cons as well. And they've also gone up in price because they're not trendy. So they're, I'm not saying that they are void of pitfalls, but very interesting concept.
I was going to say, if you build, I've done a little bit of research on this. Most people that build probably come in under 30 grand. And that's pretty dang nice. Some people are like at 10 grand. If you go buy a manufactured tiny home on a flatbed trailer, they're 70 grand.
Yeah.
I mean, what's the point? Like,
yeah.
I mean, unless you're going to try to live in San Francisco where the houses are, you know, $2 million for 800 square feet.
Well, even if you did that and you took your tiny house there, there are really big problems with zoning and with the law.
Yeah.
Because one of the ways we protect our real estate market is by our appraisal system and by how we value the land and also what's on it. With a tiny house, you're almost doing the land like a KOA, but in some cases the people never want to leave, you know. It's kind of funky.
I think there's two styles, and you guys can give your opinion on this too. I think there's two types of tiny house people. Those who feel like they can leave less of a footprint on earth. And so they buy or build a tiny home, buy or build, and they put it on a lot that's legal, and they pay their little fees and be a part of a community. And then there's the people that do tiny houses because they don't want to be in debt, and they don't want to work. They just want to have as much overhead cost as possible. And those are the guys that seem to me that live illegally. They got it in somebody's backyard, and you know, they're obviously probably not mooching, but they're taking power from somebody's house, you know, and water and kind of things, and they're just trying to live as cheap as possible. And so, yeah, I think there's those two types maybe.
Brian, thoughts on tiny houses?
I think you're onto something there, Dustin. I was going to say the same thing. There's probably three categories, I would say, and this may be controversial, but yes, the one category is that they have some aversion to debt. They don't believe that they should owe money to anybody, and they'd like to keep the cost down. I'm all for that. The next one is the sustainability. They want to reduce their carbon footprint. They don't want to have some sort of negative reaction on the earth, or you know, they want to live with the earth energy, you know, whatever you want to call it. So I don't know anything about the tiny home movement, so I had to do some research, and through my extensive scientific research, I watched three videos. So one person, he came out to his father, and so he got disowned, so he ran away and didn't have any money, didn't have a job, so he decided to build a tiny home to be cheap because he didn't have any income. So he went and got reclaimed wood and built his house on a trailer, which the trailer was even reclaimed. The next person, there was this lady, she was probably 65 years old. She had problems with relationships, so she was dating some heroin addict who wound up dying inside of her bathroom as he was building the house on an overdose.
Where are you watching
this video? This is on Netflix.
Yeah, that's a Netflix.
This is on Netflix.
Nice.
So all of my tiny house viewing's been on YouTube. I haven't watched the one on Netflix, which is probably why I am so lost right now.
All mine's been on HGTV when they build these tiny houses for these people. So
there was another one on Amazon Prime, and this was a little bit more extensive, but it was for people like even outside of the United States. They were in Europe and Spain and that kind of place, but they had some that were as small as like 75 square feet. It was literally a chicken coop. There was another one that the guy remodeled a garage into some sort of tiny home.
Hmm.
It was really nice. Small. I mean, what was cool that I did like about it is they had to be pretty frugal with their design. So a lot of times you can't buy a couch from a furniture store and stick it in a tiny home. You have to manufacture your own furniture.
A lot of times in the viewing that I've seen, they take that couch and they make it serve a million different functions, where so, my couch serves one function.
So, yeah, I watch this show on HGTV. You know, they build these. They go out and find these couples or whatever, these families, and they build a tiny house for them. And what I always think is hilarious is, I don't know if they do this on purpose, but these people are moving from a regular house into a tiny house, and they have, like, truckloads of crap. And it's always, they have this segment where they go into a room and, oh, you've got to fit all your stuff in this square on the floor, you know, that's like a 5x5 square. And so they've got to get all this stuff. And these people, it's just funny to me that they have so much stuff and they're trying to cram it into this tiny home. And then they, it's like you said, they have all, everything has a dual purpose. So it's like, yay, I can sit on the pot while I'm cooking dinner.
And brush my teeth and take like, a shower at the same time.
Or, yeah, or my toilet's in my shower, so I can shower and do my business at the same time. Or, you know, every nook and cranny is used.
You would be super clean that way.
And so the other problem I have with this is everything, it's so complicated to do anything. I want to, you know, get my socks for the morning. I have to lift my bed up and pull a drawer out and dig way in the back. Or like the one I was watching, they built this really cool table that lifted up and kind of was suspended above them, and then they could lower it and lift it as they needed it. And so they always do this little segment, how do you like living in your tiny house? And they said, oh, we never use that, it's too complicated and too much trouble. And I'm like, yeah, that's my problem with a tiny house is, yeah, this is great and all, but why do I want to make my life so difficult to do such simple things in my life? And
again, Scott, though, you have to, this tiny house movement, I would say its roots have come way more from people not wanting to be in debt, the hipster movement, you know, where people are, they only care about coffee and their
MacBook.
Their MacBook, you know.
They spend more on their MacBook than they do on their house.
They want to travel. They don't want to work necessarily, or they'll work to travel. Or even though they'll want to go to a new location and work there to see the new location, and they don't want to have a big cost like an apartment or a lease or whatever.
Right.
No, so they build this situation, and it is almost an adaptation, really, of just the mobile home.
I totally get that.
I have no problem with hipsters, hippies, or anyone else that wants to try and build a tiny home. I'm just saying that if you think about the people that kind of started it, it wasn't families with seven kids.
No, I get it. And for them, that's great. But for me, part of my I want to make my everyday living as simple as possible. I don't want to have to go through a bunch of stuff to get, well, to be able to do anything.
Well, here's my thought about that, is because I've seen some poorly designed tiny homes, and I've seen some really well-designed tiny homes. And my thought process on this is, there's a lot of guys that have never built anything, not even like a Lego set in their life, and they're like, I'm going to build a tiny home. And you start looking at the plans, and you're like, wow, that kind of looks like a little hipster coffee shop. Like, you know, you've got guitars hanging on the wall, and you're more worried about how it looks and how cool it's going to make you look, and then you don't think about functionality. And so, one, it takes that person, I've seen some of these shows, it takes them like a year to build this, you know, 800 square foot. And then there's somebody who's thought about it, they've gone through plans, they've looked at other tiny homes, they've kind of done what they want, and they knock these things out in just a couple of months, and they're so functional that it's like, oh, well, that makes a lot of sense. But, you know?
So the show I'm watching is these two guys, you know, they've built 100 tiny homes. It's the same guys, and they've built them all, and they build some of the stuff they come up with, I have to admit, is super cool. And they find a way to use every square inch of the house, but it's always with some, you know, I can't eat dinner and I can't cook dinner and have a couch at the same time. Or, you know, the table needs to be out, and if the table's out, then I can no longer, there's just all these compromises, and to me it's just too much effort. Not to mention the fact that a lot of these have two lofts, right? The bedrooms are on opposite side and lofts up above,
yeah.
Some space on the bottom. And some of these people have kids. Like, how do you have adult time? when you're over here and
Cue
10 feet away.
Sexy saxophone.
And 10 feet away, your kids are lying there and there's absolutely no walls and you're on this trailer that, you know, can't be super stable.
Careless whisper.
How do you...
You put them in the guest house, the pop tent in the back. Hey, kids, we're having a camp out today. You're sleeping in the backyard.
I have seen so few tiny house situations with kids. They are very much the exception to the rule as far as
I know, but there are some people who do it.
There are, and I don't even want to know.
How does that work?
I don't know. But I will say this, Scott. I think also where you live affects the tiny house movement. I don't see in my viewing that these people have these tiny homes in super, super cold places.
Oh, whatever,
dude. They have some. They do. But what I'm saying is a lot of the tiny house situation is you're not in it all the time. And climates where you can go outside for more space so that you're not in this little pen is part of the equation. Dustin, I know where you're going. I have seen them build them like in the middle of nowhere, Alaska.
No, there are more people building tiny houses in Canada than anywhere else on Earth. I would venture to say, I watched so many videos on this tiny housey thing, and they were all in Canada.
I don't know what they're going to do when it snows, and they do have to, have the toilet out while they make dinner, you know.
So that was one of the things that was on that Amazon special, is that lady with every time she had a chamber pot, she didn't even have a toilet. She had to empty the chamber pot, literally, and I swear there was no ventilation in there. So when she wanted to ventilate the place, she literally climbed upstairs, hopped on her bed, and lifted up her roof, which was on springs, to open it up to let more air inside of her tiny house.
Most people design them better than that.
So, yeah, I think you're looking at the wrong videos, dude. You're looking at the... these are homeless, sounds like homeless people who have done what they could rather than people who can actually afford to build a well-designed tiny home that I've been watching. So your tiny home experience sounds very different than my tiny home experience.
So the guy that actually started this movement, I forget his name, forgive me, but he actually... markets to hippies. He pulls his tiny home around into a parking lot of Whole Foods, and he has open houses there in Whole Foods parking lot.
Brian,
to advertise
not
to
just hippies shop at Whole Foods. By the way, Whole Foods is very expensive. If you haven't noticed, most people that are of the hippie persuasion don't have a lot of money because it's not the
first choice place that they go to shop.
They don't have the currency.
They spend all their money on coffee, MacBooks. And Whole Foods, so they don't have money for anything
iPhones.
Else.
There's an iPhone in there.
That's
somewhere.
That's a hipster, by the way. They are not the same. but anyway, that's funny. I didn't know. Is that from Netflix where they'll do like a drive-through at Whole Foods? Is that real, or are you just teasing?
No, that's real.
Okay, so I find that fascinating. That is a demographic that I could see tiny homes appealing to. But you know, the last all of the Whole Foods that I'm aware of in this valley are near very wealthy populations. They don't have any Whole Foods in this valley in demographics that are low income. In fact, they had a Wild Oats out at Jordan Landing. I don't live anywhere near Jordan Landing, but if I did, you know, I could go and frequent that Wild Oats. That went out of business because the people in that area.
How did we get onto Whole Foods and Wild Oats? I thought we were talking about tiny houses.
I'm just talking the money. It's just the money. So Wild Oats is more expensive than a lot of the grocery stores in that area, and they went out of business.
You live right by
Jordan Landing.
Underneath the mountain in our vault.
Yes. Well, that's where we work. We work under the mountain. We don't live under the mountain. Maybe if we had a tiny home, we could.
He lives in the swamp. Yeah, on exactly. The south side of town.
Down by the river.
Down by the river in a van. Speaking of vans, like this tiny house thing kind of led me on to the whole van life thing. Have you seen these guys building basically tiny homes in these Sprinter vans?
There's a guy from USU that I watched a video on him. Yeah,
that's way cool too. And those guys are well thought out, and they're like incognito, no windows, no nothing, and they just park in parking lots or on the side of the road and live in their little van, and they never
shower in the university's.
Yeah, they do have to find showers. Some of them have bathrooms in them. No running water, but I've seen them where they have a spigot that comes out and they have a removable shower they can take outside in the parking lot and have a shower.
The freedom would be nice, you know, to just be able to pick up and go anywhere. But it just seems to make everyday common living complicated.
Like
and to me, I just want to go home, and have it be as simple and as easy as possible. I don't want to spend all my non-work time trying to figure out how to make things work.
So instead you spend all your time organizing your stuff?
See, and that's another thing, and that's entirely different conversation is the minimalist. And I'm all for being a little minimalist, getting rid of a lot of the crap. We have way too much crap in our lives, and I have way too much crap.
I do
so
too.
So that's an entirely different conversation. I don't think you have to have a tiny home to be minimalist.
No.
I think it forces you to be a minimalist, not by choice.
I think that if you have one, it aligns with your philosophies. If you have a tiny home, it aligns. It's not for everyone. I think that when I first got married, that to have an option like a tiny home, and I'm not in a condo or an apartment tied, you know, right next to somebody, and I had some land around, it doesn't have to be a lot, but I could go outside or whatever, I would have loved to have bought that and owned it when we first were starting off and not had high overhead. And,
right.
You know, the monthly payment on that is something small and manageable. And then later, as we progressed, as I got through school, as I changed jobs, as I progressed my career, then we, if we want to, then we, you know, have kids and we grow our space a bit so that it's more convenient and that we like our surroundings. But I would really have liked to own something and have our own space for a price that doesn't break the bank.
And you just gave my best use case of a tiny home to me is, you know, the couple just starting out. Rather than go live in a teeny tiny apartment, why not live in a teeny tiny house? Own the thing, have something that has some value that you can, you know, maybe sell later on and use as money to put down on a starter house.
And there are certainly people that don't want to have kids. And so a tiny house for them works out fairly decently forever, and that's fine too.
And there's some people that shouldn't have kids. I watched this video the other day where this this girl was doing a tiny home. She built her own tiny home, and then she says, yeah, I Airbnb this thing like all the time. And she's like, I have some friends, and so when I'm you know, have an Airbnb reservation, I just go stay with my friends, and then I give them a little bit of money. And so the guy was like, well, how often do you Airbnb? And she's like, every week. So she built this tiny home, and then it was on a lake, and she Airbnbs this house every weekend. And so she probably didn't even have to work because she was making enough money off this Airbnb, you know.
I completely get that. That could replace a yurt kind of thing.
Yeah, I think a tiny home would make a wonderful cabin up somewhere that you just go and, you know, you visit for a week or so at a time.
Yeah, buy a cheap piece of land, put your tiny home on it. And I've actually thought about that. That would be way cool too.
Talk to me after the show. I'm interested.
That would be a fantastic use of a tiny home to me, too, is something temporary that's more like a hotel room than it is your actual day-to-day living.
Ski Bone Lodge or something.
I found some property, and I tried to get Scott to go in on it with me, but he wouldn't.
I never said I would.
The heck, Scott?
Let's do it.
We could build some tiny houses.
Build a tiny house.
Live a little.
Tiny vacation
let's
house.
Let's do it. All right. So anything any last words on tiny houses? All right. Great.
Well, wait, I do have one more thing. I don't comprehend how the bathroom situation works in a tiny house.
Compostable toilet.
A bad day.
No. I'm talking about the toilet. I'm talking about the space. There's no way to close the bathroom off. Most of them have a curtain. So now your whole house smells like the bathroom when someone has gone to the bathroom.
Dude,
that's the other
poops.
Part I don't get.
Everybody poops, Dustin.
I don't care. I don't want my whole house to smell like it.
Most people have a door to close the bathroom and
a ventilation fan.
So you're saying, John, you would want to live in a tiny house after that big burrito?
Dude, I'll tell you right now, I would love to live in a tiny house after that burrito because I wouldn't even have to move to use the toilet.
You could cook your breakfast by laying in bed?
Exactly. Well, I wouldn't eat breakfast because, holy cow, I couldn't eat anything, but I would have been able to work, or I'd be able to, you know, whatever I was doing, and also take a crap at the same time. You know?
Nice.
Same room.
The best tiny house design I saw that accommodated the bathroom the best way was made in a shipping container. So he took, you know, 2.5 feet, 3 feet on the end of the shipping container, built a wall, and then it was wide. So, I mean, it was a good-sized bathroom. Half of it was the shower. I mean, the whole thing was the shower, but half of it was meant to be the kind of standing air shower. The other half was the toilet. But other than that, every single time I see somebody's bathroom in that tiny house, I'm like, no.
Yeah, no way.
Now my whole house is going to smell like the bathroom.
One more thing, Scott.
Go.
As I thought, related to that point you just made, Dustin, is that there are homes that are also poorly designed and engineered and don't make sense
for sure.
And waste space, too. And so we're not picking on tiny home building or engineering. Engineering is a complicated thing in general, but especially when you have less space, it's even more important.
Oh, I have to say, just to add on to that, is some of the engineering I've seen in these tiny homes is incredible.
Yeah,
some of the
really
way
cool.
They use the space and double use and triple use the space is just amazing. They make these tiny homes completely awesome. Just not to live in day to day. I don't want to have to use the space for three different things. That's my issue with them.
Literally, what I saw on one of them is they had a small, really deep sink that dubbed as their bathtub. So she could literally get in the sink and sit down, fill it up with water, take a bath, hop out, and then grate her carrots. Right.
Did you watch the ghetto version of tiny houses?
That's on the Amazon Prime one. It was a sitting tub sink that she could wash her hands in.
I'm going to have to wash that.
I'm going to have to call
it. It was like the creamer thing inside the shower.
All right, so we're going to move on to our Would You Rather question. So, and by the way, thank you for all the submissions. We have got so many submissions for Would You Rather questions that we'll never be able to use them all, so I don't think we need any more. So maybe this week, instead of giving a submission for a Would You Rather question, why don't you tell us what your answer to the question is why in the Facebook comments. So here's what it is. Would you rather be able to turn invisible for 10 seconds once every minute or be able to fly 2 feet off the ground at double your running speed for 100 yards once every 10 minutes?
I know my answer.
All right, go.
I would absolutely turn invisible.
For 10 seconds?
Yeah.
What would you do with 10 seconds worth of invisibility?
On the podcast?
No, just in your life. Why would you want to? Why would you pick that?
I mean, for family audiences or for?
Yes, for family audiences.
Hey, pervy. No.
I just think that it would be super cool. I honestly changed my mind. I mean, other than non-family approved activities, really, the flying would be probably more interesting. Although, only going 100 yards with that isn't super helpful.
See, that's what I like this question because neither one's super great.
Yeah.
Just enough to be a taste of what it could really be, but not enough to really abuse them.
That's true.
John.
I'll change it to the 2 foot levitation.
2 foot, yeah.
Yeah.
Brian?
I think I'll go with invisibility because occasionally you'll have that scratch that you can't really itch. You have to wait. So that might be good.
Brian.
That might be useful.
Just do it in public, bro.
That might be useful. You know, you got to pick your nose or something that you wouldn't normally do.
I do that while driving.
Yeah.
So that might be good.
Yeah, I could go with that. What about you, Dustin?
So you said 10 seconds once an hour?
Once a minute.
Oh, once a minute. 10 seconds once a minute.
It's a lot.
Yeah, that's... I don't know what I can do in 10 seconds, though. 10 seconds really isn't... I mean, that's like traversing a room. If I traverse a room, then I got to hide behind something
for
a
50
minute.
50 seconds per
so
minute.
So that I can do it again.
Right.
I think I'm going to have to go with the flying, too, because for 100 yards, just think of the gaps you could span. Like, you could be on top of a building.
I thought it was only 2 feet off the ground.
No, it's only 2 feet off the ground, dude. You can't fly higher than 2 feet off the ground.
Well, if I'm projecting myself... twice my running speed.
You're going to just splat into the side of the building, dude.
No, I'll be good.
They're going to think you're on a Segway.
I think I'm going to float.
Float?
I think that would be pretty cool. Yeah. I don't think I could really use the invisibility thing.
So, obviously, I've had more time to think about this than you guys because I knew the question. But I really like the invisibility because there are plenty of times when I want to do something fairly short, like you're talking about, you know, sneak somewhere without being seen. And I only need 10 seconds to get by something, and then I can hide behind something, wait.
So give us an example, Scott.
Going from the shower to the closet?
Yeah, right. You know, just stuff like that. Or, you know, I want to sneak upstairs to play Xbox without my wife seeing me or something. So stuff like that. I thought about this. How often do I really ever need to go 100 yards quickly.
Every time you're riding the train.
And I know, I don't...
You've obviously never seen Maximum Ride.
Unfortunately, I have. As much as I've tried to forget that, but yes, I have.
Just imagine how fast you could get back from the train to your house.
That's only 100 yards, though. 100 yards is nothing.
Think of how fast you could get through Walmart.
You'd kill people.
No, dude, you got...
You'd be good
active
at it.
Safety sense. With this technology of levitation, you can...
No, you don't have that.
People avoidance.
You don't have that. No.
Twice the speed of running for 100 yards.
Yes.
That's a lot of distance to cover in a really short amount of time.
It's not a lot. It's a short distance in a short amount of time.
100 yards is okay, yeah, you're right. So, and then you... And that's once an hour or once a minute on that one, too? That was once an hour?
What did I say?
I think you said once an hour.
If it was once a minute,
I think I said once every 5 minutes or
something. You said 10 minutes.
10 minutes.
Oh, every 10 minutes. Yeah.
I kind of played with the times beforehand, so I can't remember what I actually... So once every 10 minutes.
Yeah.
You could make it to the top of every mountain effortlessly.
Yeah, I'm a big time... If you're not a perv,
that's true.
If you're not a perv, I'm a big time fan. I don't need to pick myself without anyone seeing that. I'm fine with that. And I don't need to sneak to play Xbox, so that's fine.
Imagine how... you could run... Your wife wouldn't even know you went upstairs because you were going so fast and effortlessly. You didn't make any noise because you were 2 feet off the ground.
He's changing his stance.
No, I'm going to still stick with invisible because invisible is cool, man.
Invisible is cool if it's longer than 10 seconds.
Well, do you see a timer while you're invisible? Like, do you get a 5-second warning?
Well, you got to count your head.
Oh, that could complicate things.
That technology is terrible. It needs to be vetted.
That could complicate things because you could put yourself in a compromising situation if you don't know how much time you have remaining. Wow.
That's called skill.
Yeah, I guess so.
You learn how to use it. All right, so we've got two invisibilities and two flyings. All right, let us know what you do, fly or be invisible.
Hey, Scott, I was thinking, in addition to commenting which one you would pick in the comments, listeners, why don't you also include some tiny house videos for Brian so that...
some better ones, right?
So that he can have a better perspective on the movement.
John wants to know where to go join the commune, where he can pull his circle his wagons.
So when you were watching Tiny Homes on HGTV, you were really watching Hippie Ghetto TV?
It must have been. Yeah, there we go. That's a good one.
Hipster Life Seattle.
Yeah. So there is one awesome use that I would love to have a tiny home for. Are you ready? Wouldn't a tiny home make an awesome man cave?
It would.
Wouldn't you just love to have a little tiny home in your backyard that you could turn into your man cave?
Does it have to be in the backyard? Can it just be in my basement?
I kind of have a mini man cave in my backyard.
Where? Yeah, you do. You do have a little mini man cave. You need a TV or something. But
I'm working on that.
All right.
Are you talking about your shed?
Yeah. I got it set up as a shop so I could do some work out there.
Gotcha.
If you could have, what is your dream man cave? Anything you want in a man cave, what does that look like for you, Brian?
For me, it's a home theater. Stadium seating, a projector, a big screen, nice sound system, movie posters on the wall, LED fiber like star lights above, like a recessed ceiling, nice chairs, sit down, popcorn machine, that kind of stuff.
So just that your man cave is to watch movies.
I like that, yeah. Maybe nice. Have some bookshelves with some books, comics along the wall, yeah.
Comics while you're watching the movie?
No, because you can go there and sit while you're not watching a movie.
In the theater, in the stadium seating?
Yep. Nice soundproof room, yeah. Nice place to escape.
All right.
That's what I go for.
Would it only have that? Do you have a pool table, other entertainment? Just the theater?
Yep, you'd be just good? The theater. Yep, that'd be good. You can watch sports, play games.
All right, movies. John. What about you?
I like a lot of things. And so for me, a man cave, if anything, is really just your opportunity to go do something that you really enjoy and not be bothered, right?
Okay, sure.
Well, my man cave, if I'm going to do a lot of things that I enjoy, it can't possibly hold them all. But some
sure, dude, this is your dream man cave.
Okay.
It can hold whatever you want.
All right. If it's my dream man cave, it's something like the holodeck from Star Trek. And does this have to exist in reality? We never talked about it. This is my dream.
It's your dream.
This is my dream.
It's your dream.
Okay, this
if you
is
want
how it
the
would
holodeck,
work.
The holodeck's an awesome man cave.
This is how it would work. if I could have my dream. Doesn't mean that this could actually happen, but I would like to have a holodeck. And one large enough that you're not running into the walls, you know, prototyping different scenarios or whatever. But not so big that I'm going to do a hike in the holodeck. You do those in real life. That's fine. But it would have some of the things that I enjoy. I talked previously with Scott and Dustin that I enjoy rollerblading. I really enjoy skating, so I would have a holodeck skating ring. Okay, and it would probably be scenic and not like the ring that they have around here locally. You know, it's kind of boring. That's one. I would have
a theater. You're combining recreation with man cave. Usually man cave doesn't.
You don't have to exercise?
Yeah, I mean, recreation is done outside of the man cave. You go to the parkway and rollerblade. You go to the mountains and
hike. I'd have an awesome lab. I'd have a theater, of course. Who wouldn't? I would have the ability to have a LAN situation where I could game with a bunch of friends of any gender. I don't care. But I don't I mean, the traditional man caves that I think about right now are typically related to sports and alcohol, and I don't really care about either of those. So my man cave for the social aspect would be much more like a lab or a work room. Can't call it a craft
room. When you say a lab, what are you doing in this lab? Are you creating mad scientist stuff or
most of it would be woodworking or metal.
So
woodworking.
A shop,
yes. But I said lab because it wouldn't just be a shop. It would be several different things, not just a shop.
All right.
And I just watched on YouTube yesterday. This guy grabbed a Dremel and carved rocks, cool shapes into rocks. I mean, I never realized that something, I mean, I say easy. It's not easy. It's technical. But the tools to do rock carvings are that readily available, you know. So my man cave would be very creation-based. I really like building and making and tweaking things. But
very good.
I have a high respect for the relaxing, the theater, the gaming as well.
Dustin?
So I want a detached building. I want like a garage that I can have a shop in the bottom where I could work on whatever project I want. And maybe in that portion, I have some couches and some stand-up video games or whatever. And then above the shop, I'm going to have a loft. And then that's where I want movie theater type stuff, maybe game place, some place to kind of relax. And with it being detached, then that means I can make as much noise as I want. I can do whatever I want, and I don't disturb the people in my house. So kind of get away. I know a guy that actually has a shop. It's not even at his house. It's like a couple blocks, maybe a mile from his house. He bought this rental, and in behind the rental has a big shop. And you walk in, and he's got arcade games, pool table, ping pong table, a couch with a big screen. And then he has a shop portion of it, and he can arrange anything he wants. He could pull a car in there and work on a car if he wanted, or he's kind of got a little shop section, poker table kind of thing, and I'm just envious of it. Like I see that, and I'm like, that's way cool. So I'd like to take your upstairs, put it over top of a garage, and be cool.
Very good. My dream is, it sounds very similar to yours, so I want just an area to lounge, you know? Just an area to chat, hang out, talk. So couches, bean bags, all that. Then I want another area that's like, I want a full kitchen. And I want a chef to make me some burrito grandes. And all my friends.
That.
You know, when I have friends over, have someone to cook for you.
Yep.
So that's part of my dream man cave, is a full-time chef to cook whatever the heck I want them to cook for me. So with little bar tables and lots of TVs, so you can watch lots of sports. And I know that I don't watch a whole bunch of sports, but sometimes I want to watch sports. And when I do, I want that. So I have that section.
You know what you've just described?
What?
a house.
Yeah, but my house doesn't have all that yet.
It doesn't have the chef. But
and then I want some pinball machines. I love pinball.
Yeah.
I want some pinball machines. You can't really replicate pinball in any other medium, you know?
Yeah.
You can buy an arcade thing with a billion different arcade games on it, but you can't do pinball. So I want pinball. Then I want a theater room. Very much like Brian's, but in my theater room, I want... Have you ever seen, like, they have the projectors that are all synced and they form one big picture?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Those are cool.
So I want this giant thing, but it's four projectors that can all be synced, or they can project individually, so we can have four people playing four different video games together at the same time.
A split screen kind of setup.
Yeah. Yeah. So you have four people in there. They each have their own Xbox or PlayStation or whatever. I want all of them. So they can all play at the same time, and I'll be on there battling, or except then you could cheat. You know, you can always look over at your buddy's screen.
We call that screen jacking.
Yeah, screen jacking.
Yeah.
So what are you guys currently doing for a man cave type environment?
So right now in my house, we have an upstairs that's kind of a bonus room. We've got some couches and a couple of TVs up there that my kids mostly use. Well, let's not lie, I use a lot to play video games. So that's kind of our getaway space. And I need a big table to play board games on.
Oh, there you go.
That's a good one. I missed that.
Someplace you could set up and not have to tear down if you wanted to.
Right, exactly. Yeah. You need a big table. I can set up one of these really complicated board games that takes hours and hours and hours, and you can play it a little bit at a time. I don't think we've really touched on board games here much on the podcast, but I think we're all pretty big fans of board games and playing games in general.
Yeah, so just games in general.
I would love to have a big gaming area with – I actually want one of those – they have these tables made out of touch screens now that are interactive that you can use to, you know, put pieces on, and it knows it and it's smart. I want one of those too in my man cave. So,
what do you guys have, any man cave setups?
Brian, go ahead.
Nope, all my ideas are conceptual.
So you don't have a place where you currently hang out? Just living room with a TV.
Just a living room with a TV is all I got now.
So if you need some Brian time, where do you go?
I have an in-home office, if you want to call it that, in the basement, where I just have a PC
right now. And that's where you go and hang out if you need some.
That's where I have my bookshelves, my comics collection, yeah.
That's your Brian space. Where's your John space? If you need a couple minutes away from everybody else, where do you go?
The John?
That's a good one.
There's nowhere for me to run.
Is that a euphemism?
Yeah, there's nowhere for me to go in my house. I might as well be living in a tiny house with the situation that that currently exists. I guess the living room is really, or my TV room is really, as much of a man cave as I'm going
to
get.
All right, Dustin, what are you doing to get away from everybody?
So we've spent a little bit of time trying to make a fun basement. So we have one big room that has a ping pong table in it, and we have a love seat in there. We have one of those great big giant oversized Bing bags, and it has a TV, and we have a couple of, like, the original Xbox, original Nintendo, a couple of different, and a Wii game console, so the kids can kind of stand up. So they can play ping pong, they play video games there. And then kind of connected to that down the hall, we have another room that has a big sectional in it with a nice TV, big sound system. So that's kind of the hangout fun area of our house. The problem is I have to compete with the kids for it. So
right. So where do you go when you need some Dustin time?
I do have a little office that I have a bunch of my RC stuff in. I don't know if anybody knows, but I do a lot of RC racing drones and planes and stuff. And so I have a little spot. It's just not really comfortable. I mean, there's a kitchen table in there, and it has a kitchen chair, and I have a PC so I can watch some Netflix, but it's just not a comfortable place to really hang out. It's more of a place that I would do work.
Yeah, I think we need to find an empty lot, and we need to build our own little shared man cave on it.
Here's what we do. We do exactly what you said. We put a tiny house on it. We Airbnb it when we're not there and make money. And then whenever we want to get together, we've got a paid-for free popcorn paid for by the Airbnb
Nice. Let's do it.
Our man cave can't be the tiny house, though. We'll have to build a separate building and build it.
We'll buy a regular house, and then we'll Airbnb that.
Yeah. All right. Sounds good. I guess that's our podcast for this week. You can check us out on all the normal spots. Any place new, Dustin, that we've been added? We've been trying to get it everywhere, so...
Yeah, so you can find us on Podbean now. So if you're listening to it on the website, you should be able to find us in Podbean. I've submitted to iHeartRadio also. I haven't heard back from iHeartRadio. And if you are listening and you're using an app or a podcatcher or something like that, it would be really helpful if you could submit a review. Give us an honest and fair review, maybe... 5 stars out of 5 would be awesome.
That sounds pretty honest and fair.
Why is that helpful?
Just because it helps us be more discoverable on these podcatchers. You know, higher rated podcasts get more traffic. So, you can still find us on Twitter. Our Twitter handle is at RGRTPodcast. Our Instagram user is RGRTPodcast. Our website is regularguysrandomthings.com. Our Facebook page is The Regular Guys Random Things. I've also created a group to associate with that. Probably not a whole lot happening in the group now, but we're starting to get a little bit of traction, a few more downloads than we had. Every week we get a little bit bigger.
We actually have non-family members listening to us now, I think.
We do.
Yeah, nice. We're like ginormous now.
I'm going to lunch on Thursday with a friend that I haven't talked to in years. And it, just because of the podcast, he said, hey, I used to work with him. And so he listened to the last episode and he's like, I was wondering where you were going with the work conversation. And so we kind of chatted back and forth and he's like, hey, let's go do lunch. So his name's Tim. I'm going to meet with him on Thursday. We're going to go have some lunch.
I want to meet random Germany guy.
The one listener from Germany?
The one listener from Germany.
Please reach out to us.
Man Cave Thursday. We're going to Germany.
So we're actually a little more international than just Germany, guys. Really? We've got some downloads from Canada.
Really?
Wow, nice. Nice.
So we got Germany, Canada, and the United States.
It's all that hockey talk.
International. All
right. They want to make sure that any tiny house talk that they're in on it.
Yes. All right, go to our website. That's where you'll find everything you need. All those links, they're all on there. So that's our podcast for this week. For Brian.
See you guys.
John.
Later.
Dustin.
Catch you next week.
And I'm your host, Scott. We're out of here. Thanks. Bye.
Thanks again for joining us on this week's podcast. You can find more episodes, show notes, and links at our website at www.regularguysrandomthings.com. You can also find us on all the social media platforms like Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. If you enjoyed this week's podcast, please like, comment, and subscribe on your podcast platform of choice. Once again, thanks for listening, and catch us next week for a brand new episode.